Hello and welcome to this short audio version of the service for Sunday the 27th of December. I hope that you will be blessed and encouraged and that God will be glorified during our short service. As we approach God in worship, let us start by reading from His Word in order to refocus our minds. In John chapter 1, verse 1 through to 5, it says the following: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Those words from John's Gospel echoing in our minds, let us now come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we draw near to You now, we focus our minds upon You and we thank You once again for this opportunity to do so. When we take the time to reflect upon all that You have done for us, Lord, we realize that there is so much we have to be thankful for. And when we pause to reflect upon who You really are, we realize that You alone are worthy of our worship. But so often, Lord, our lives are so hectic and at times so difficult and disappointing that we don't feel thankful towards You. Nor do we really feel like worshipping You. In fact, at times, O Lord, we can convince ourselves that You are not loving or faithful towards us. But as someone once said, just because the sky is black with rain clouds, that does not mean that the sun has stopped shining. So even though the horizon of our life may be filled with the clouds of difficulty, disappointment, doubt and despair, You remain as You always have been, because as Your word declares, You do not change. You are no less loving or faithful towards us today as You have been in the past, and You will be no less loving and faithful towards us tomorrow as You are today. Your love for us always has been and always will be unconditional and steadfast. Your mercy towards us always has been and always will be because of Your graciousness. Your forgiveness of sins for those who repent and humbly seek Your forgiveness always has been and always will be absolute, because as Your word declares, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So forgive us, we pray, if we have doubted You and deemed You not worthy of our praise and worship. Forgive us if we have let our difficulties and disappointments and our doubts and despair colour our opinion of You. Heavenly Father, if today our hearts are heavy and our gaze has dropped to our circumstances, lift our hearts and fix our eyes upon Jesus, and look that we may look full in His wonderful face, so that the things of this world may grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And these things we ask, O Lord, now, in the precious name of Your Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to read to you from God's Word. So if you have your Bibles at hand, can I encourage you to open them at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, where we will begin reading from verse 13. So that's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and we will begin reading at verse 13. When they, that is the wise men, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. And we end our reading at verse 23. And we thank God for this reading from his truth. Now our scripture reading in today in Matthew's Gospel is a continuation of the story contained in the preceding verses, wherein we are told how the wise men had searched for, found and worshipped Jesus as a baby, whom they had identified as the King of the Jews. You can just imagine the impact that their visit had on Joseph and Mary, coming as it did after all the other astonishing things which had happened to them since Jesus had been born. Not long after his birth, some local shepherds had paid them a visit to see Jesus, having been told of his birth and where they could find him by some angels. Then, some 40 days later, when they had gone with Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to fulfill the requirements of God's word, they had been approached by two people, Simeon and then Anna, who both gave thanks to God for Jesus and said some amazing things about what he would accomplish. Then upon returning to Bethlehem, having found lodgings in a house, they were visited by these wise men who bowed before Jesus and worshipped him and presented him with some amazing gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. To a young, impoverished couple, such gifts were beyond their wildest dreams. So you can imagine that when they closed their door to these men after they had left, and as they settled down for the evening, having put Jesus to sleep, they probably thought, what next? If this was what the first few weeks of his life was like, what on earth would the next number of years be like? You can imagine that as they lay down to sleep, they did so smiling at how well things had turned out. So you can also imagine that they were not prepared for what happened next. As Matthew tells us, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, which must have seemed like deja vu for him, given the previous occasion that an angel had done so and reassured him that Mary had told him the truth about her pregnancy. But this time the message he received was frightening and horrifying. It no doubt shook him to the core. As we know, the angel told him to get up and take Jesus and Mary to Egypt because Herod was going to search for him and kill him. And in the verses that follow, we see that Joseph was a man who listened to and heeded the Lord's word. As verse 14 tells us, Joseph wasted no time in getting up, wakening Mary and then Jesus, gathering what belongings they could carry and setting off into the night, heading for Egypt. A few hours earlier, they had felt safe and secure. Now they were running for their lives. A few hours earlier, men had come to worship Jesus and leave him gifts. Now men were going to take his life, or coming to take his life. Things had gone south rapidly, as we would say. And now they were, quite literally, heading south to Egypt, where they would be beyond the jurisdiction of Herod. How long they were there, we are not told. But once Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again and told him that the threat to Jesus' life had passed, so they could return to Israel. And Joseph, being the man that he was, duly complied and headed back to Bethlehem. However, when Joseph realized that Archelaus was a ruler of the area in which Bethlehem was, he had second thoughts about settling there. This hesitancy was not without good reason, given that Archelaus, like his father, before him was a ruthless, brutal ruler. For instance, when civil unrest had erupted in Jerusalem over an eagle his father had erected at the temple, some 3,000 people were killed by his troops. The Lord then spoke again to Joseph via an angel and told him to settle in Nazareth. Now, as we consider this, we see that at every stage Joseph listened to and heeded God's word. He didn't apply human logic to the situation and do what he thought was right. He did exactly as the Lord told him, when he told him. When the Lord told him to get up in the middle of the night, he did so. He didn't wait until morning, when logically it would have been easier and safer to travel. He also stayed put in Egypt until instructed by the Lord to leave. He didn't try to judge the situation for himself and leave when he thought it was safe to do so. And finally, when told to settle in Nazareth, he did so, despite the fact that, logically speaking, Bethlehem was more appropriate. This was because, as every self-respecting Jew knew, the Messiah was prophesied to come from Bethlehem. Therefore, humanly speaking, if Jesus was to be recognized as the Messiah, then that was where he should live. Nazareth, on the other hand, was at the opposite end of the spectrum. Bethlehem was respected, whilst Nazareth was thought of as nothing, and anyone who lived there was thought of in the same way. We know this was a widely held viewpoint due to the fact that when Philip told Nathanael he had met Jesus of Nazareth and that he was the one written about by Moses and the prophets, in other words, he was the Messiah, Nathanael replied by asking, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" So you see, logically speaking, Nazareth was the last place in Israel that Joseph should have settled in to raise Christ, the Son of God. I am sure that Joseph didn't understand what God was doing, but such was his faith in Almighty God that he simply obeyed him. Joseph's actions here remind us that when we put our faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, there may be times when we do not understand what God is doing in our lives, but we can trust that he does. We may not understand why events turn out as they do, but we can trust that God has not lost control or dropped the ball, so to speak. His will be done. As we are reminded constantly by Matthew in these verses, everything that happened to Joseph, Mary and Jesus was to fulfill what prophets had prophesied centuries before about the Messiah. Every detail, no matter how small, was fulfilled. Nothing was forgotten about. So when things seem unfair or don't make sense to us, instead of arguing with God, trying to second guess him or deciding to do things our way, we should simply listen to and heed his word. But Joseph's faithful obedience to God is not the only striking feature in this story. Another thing that stands out is the failure of evil to overcome God's plans. As we know, Herod had sought to use the wise men to locate Christ so that he could then kill him. But in verse 12 of this chapter, we are told that they had been warned in a dream and not to go back to Herod. So they returned home via a different route. Herod had a reputation for being very gifted in the art of deception in order to remain upon the throne. So I can imagine that he was smiling inwardly to himself when the wise men left his presence and went on their way to find Christ. They had swallowed his story hook, line and sinker, as we would say. They had no idea what his true intentions were. Herod had no reason to doubt that these men would not return and tell him where Christ was, so he didn't have anyone follow them, just in case they didn't. Therefore, as verse 16 of our reading tells us, when he realized that he had been outwitted, he was furious. All at once he realised that he had been made to look the fool, and his plans to secretly murder Christ had been undone. Which of the two hurt him the most, we cannot tell, but he did not waste time in trying to accomplish what he intended. As verse 16 tells us, he gave the order to have every male child, 2 years old and younger, in Bethlehem and its vicinity, killed. This does not suggest that Christ was 2 years old at the time. It simply illustrates Herod's callous ruthlessness. He didn't care how many mothers had their sons snatched from them and killed in order for him to kill his intended target. Humanly speaking, it was bound to work, and I'm sure that Herod was pleased when it was accomplished. But what he did not know was that it had failed completely, because, as we might say, the birds had already flown the nest. When those soldiers battered down doors and performed their evil deeds, Christ was on his way to, if not already in, Egypt, and no one had even seen his family leave. God's plan of salvation would not and could not be thwarted. This serves to remind us that God always outwits, outmaneuvers, and overcomes evil. He, not it, is always victorious. Satan may have incited Herod to kill Christ, but he was defeated in that attempt and all other attempts that he made on Christ's life. He knew why Christ had been born. He knew that Christ was his nemesis. He knew that he was staring defeat in the face, and there was nothing he could do to change that. You know, as followers of Christ, whilst we must never underestimate the power of Satan, we must also never forget the awesome, indescribable power of our Heavenly Father. In this story, it is easy to lose sight of the fact that Jesus was a helpless baby in the care of two poor and defenseless people. But even then, Satan was unable to touch him. Oh, he tried, but he also failed miserably, because the plans of God cannot be overcome by evil. He is the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and nothing, but nothing, is impossible for him. Impossible is not even a word that is in God's vocabulary. As his children through faith in Christ, he is our shield and our defender. He is our refuge and our strength, and nothing can overcome him. Therefore, no matter how weak our faith may be, no matter how often we may stumble, we may need not fear, because nothing can overcome God's plan to save us. No one can snatch us from his hands. Jesus Christ did die a cruel and unjust death at the hands of men, but it wasn't so that an earthly king could remain upon his throne. He did so to secure salvation for all who put their trust in him. He died for sin and rose again from the dead, defeating once and for all the curse of sin. Satan was a defeated foe that first Christmas. He was defeated at Calvary, and he will be defeated once and for all when Christ returns to claim his throne. Let us therefore take heart that we serve a victorious God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that you are a victorious God, that your plans cannot be overcome by evil, that Satan may try, but Satan will ultimately fail, because he is a defeated foe. You have, and always will be, victorious over him. Help us, O Lord, to remember this, O Heavenly Father, as we live out our lives for you here on earth, as your blood-bought children. And Lord, as we come before you in prayer, we take this opportunity to pray to you about our nation today. All across our land, people have had their plans for spending Christmas with friends and family ruined because of the measures taken by our government in an attempt to reduce the transmission of COVID-19. Some people have found themselves on their own, so we pray especially for them at this time. Watch over them, we pray, and prevent them from succumbing to despair, which is natural given the situation. We pray for all the young couples, some known to us, who have had for the second time their plans to get married torn apart by these latest measures. We pray that they will be able to find a suitable date within the year to get married and celebrate with friends and family. In the meantime, O Lord, grant them your grace and reassurance during this very great disappointment. We pray for our National Health Service, which at present is struggling to cope with COVID-19 alongside seasonal ailments. We thank you for the professionalism and dedication of all those working within the NHS, especially those working on the front line who are exhausted from dealing with the workload. We pray that you would protect them from this virus and that you would grant them the strength and resilience needed to deal with the challenges they face every day. We pray, O Lord, also for our teachers, who are likewise exhausted from dealing with the additional workload that teaching during this pandemic has caused. May they get the rest they badly need over this break to be able to meet the challenges they will face once again in the new year. We pray for all businesses across our nation who are struggling to stay afloat. May they get the assistance they need to do so. We pray for all those who have lost jobs because of this pandemic. May they also get the assistance they need, not only to meet their current financial commitments, but also to find re-employment. We pray for our government, both national and regional, as they try to stem the spread of this virus and so protect the NHS and lives. Heavenly Father, it is all too easy to blame them for this situation, when in reality the blame lies with all of us for not strictly adhering to the regulations, for taking chances, or for assuming that the restrictions don't apply to us. Grant our government wisdom in making policies and in applying them. Finally, O Lord, we pray for all of our number in Clogher and Glenhoy who are currently unwell. Restore them to health and strength, we pray, and grant them, along with their loved ones, your reassurance at this distressing time. And also, Lord, we think of those who have lost loved ones within this past year, and especially, Lord, within this past week. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would grant them, O Lord, your comfort, your grace, your reassurance at this time of grief. And these things we ask, Lord, in our glorious Saviour's name. Amen. And I pray that you and all those you love may have a peaceful, prosperous and happy new year. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you forevermore. Amen.